Welcome, travelers. We're aware that your journey was difficult, but prepare to have your questions answered, for you have been granted an audience with the Masters of Moth.
Music, 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 music. And welcome back to the Masters of Modern Podcast. I am your host, Alex Kessler, here with my co-host, Ben Bateman.
What's up, guys? Welcome to the show. Welcome to another early morning podcast. We're hitting this early in the morning again because Kessler's flying out of town.
Going to Ohio. This is the place of my birth. It's like a...
Were you born in Ohio?
Yeah.
Really? I've known you for like 10 years or something, and I didn't know that.
Yeah, my parents moved to LA when I was five.
Yeah, 10 years is an exaggeration.
Yeah, true.
Yeah.
It's like 7 years.
It's like 7 years.
Sure. Okay, now... Today, we're talking about Masters of Modern 3.
Nope, Modern Masters 3. 115 episodes, we're still making that mistake.
That's never going to go away. So yeah, Modern Masters 3 is coming out this year. Modern Masters 2017, I think it's its official name. And we're going to kind of do our little prediction episode today.
Yeah, this is going to be super sweet. We just had an extensive conversation about all of our ideas and theories. The thing that really made me excited about this was that the last time I played... extensive limited, I'm talking like four drafts a week, some weeks, was the entire Innistrad through the end of Return to Ravnica block. Those 2 years I played tons of limited, so I remember all of these sets and all of the archetypes that I think we're probably going to see show up largely very well. These are great. I mean, Innistrad is classically referred to and regarded as one of the great limited environments ever. And there's going to be a lot of that in this. And this is the first time we've gotten to see this in the Masters, Modern Masters format. So that's going to be cool. But before we get into the full episode and all of our things, we want to remind everybody that you can find our podcast, our little podcast on Twitter, at the MMCast. And you guys, almost at 3,000 followers. That's crazy.
As I said, if we can get there by my birthday. I don't think it's going to happen, though, because it's a week and a half.
It'd be like 100.
It's a week from today. For the people listening to the episode that the day it came out.
It's a week from today. So this will come out on Friday.
Yeah. And my birthday is next Friday.
It's the next Friday.
Yeah.
Oh, good. Okay. I knew that. anyway, yeah. So that's so you can find it at the MMCast. Let's give Kessler the birthday present of getting to 3,000. I think it's like 120 or something, or 115 left. So that's doable.
Yeah, it's possible. It's just.
Yeah.
Coin flip.
And if you want to follow either one of us and give Kessler a happy birthday and all those things, you can follow him at
Kess Wiley.
And you can follow me at Ben Bateman Media on Twitter and Instagram. And you can find us on collected.company. That's not collectedcompany.com. That's collected.company.
Yep. Because the puns.
Yeah. And then the Command Zone. They're our sister podcast. That's the other podcast on there. They do Commander content. It's awesome. They're doing video content as well. Kessler was just in a video.
I was. There's the Game Nights episode 2. I got to... play Commander with those guys on camera. They do like a cool reality show version where we don't hit the mics in the middle of it happening.
That's what that was, yeah. Keep talking.
I got to resurrect a birthing pod.
Sweet.
And then I took birthing pod to a strong adventure, and then no spoilers on if I won or lost, and then Geist of St. Traft, my all-foil Geist of St. Traft EDH deck in the second round.
Sweet.
And then I'll be in the next one because we filmed... A third game.
Cool. The Command Zone, that's on YouTube. And also, you can find our videos on YouTube. If you like, don't want to have to do it on the podcast app, you just want to put it on YouTube in the background.
We're there.
Mike Clary does that. We pay him from our Patreon account, which is great. You guys support that. Patreon.com/TheMMCast. Let's talk about Modern Masters 2017.
Well, first, just some news. The first is that we got the first snapshot of a modern, kind of what modern looks like post-bannings there was an SCG Modern Classic in Columbus. And one of the big complaints is that there were three combo decks in the top three, though I would argue that Abzan Chord is kind of a combo deck.
It's like the same thing that we've always talked about, where like with like Township and creatures, you can just go wide. It doesn't really have to win that way.
The one thing it was playing that was pretty spicy is it's playing the new green-white Uncommon from Kaladesh.
The 3-2 Rith of Revolt.
That brings things back. So
that guy's really good.
The mini Sun Titan. Ad Nauseam won the whole thing. Three was Goryeo's Vengeance deck. And then it was Affinity, Jund, Grixis Delver, which is sweet, and then two Eldrazi decks, with Esper Control being in the top nine. The top cards, the most interesting ones were the fourth most popular card in the format was Engineered Explosives.
Hmm.
Fifth was Drowner of Hope. Sixth was Reality Smasher. I think they just all kind of were the same. Everyone was playing four of them. 8 was Fatal Push.
Card's really good.
Yep.
Card's really good.
Yep. Yep. So yeah, so that was kind of that tournament. Also, Zach Elsick took at another SCG event that I can't find the list, the top 8 on MTG Goldfish, but he took the Cheerios deck, which is the Pure Steel Paladin, zero cost artifacts, return them all to your hand, play them again deck to a full-on win. And apparently the deck's super powerful.
Seems like a very Zach Elsick deck. Yes. I saw you guys going back and forth on Twitter. I was watching that conversation a little bit.
I mean, it that deck has always been like, the thing that was always holding that deck away from being a tier that was relevant, tier 1, 2, 1.5, was that there was only 4 Pure Steel Paladins.
Right.
That just like your deck didn't work unless you drew a card that died to everything and you only had 4 of them in the deck. Now there are 8.
And now you have the bounce all thanks to your hand effect from the last
He didn't play it.
What?
He was just playing Retract.
Oh, okay.
Which is, I think just 1 mana for that is a much more relevant.
That seems fair. Yeah.
Wait, I don't think you need the 4 mana one.
Right. Yeah, Retract is good. Cool. All right.
Yeah.
Well,
So that's kind of the modern news of the weekend. Nothing really big beyond that happened. We are earlier than the mothership comes on, so it's possible that they make some big announcement in an hour after we're done recording. But
the other piece of news is that we got the actual announcement date on Modern Masters 2017.
Yes, which is why we're doing this episode.
Which is in March. It's like March 17th, I think, is the actual release date of the set.
Okay.
So that's sweet. That's great. 2 years ago.
When's the Team Unified Modern tournament?
It's the end of March, like March 31st.
Okay.
It's in San Antonio.
Got it.
I hope we can go to that.
Yeah.
Who would be our third? Who would be our dream third? Hey, Corey, stop being good at magic and come play with us.
Yeah, we'd have to figure that out. Probably like I would see Josh or Jimmy. Maybe
that would be fun.
They might want to be their own team, so we'd have to figure out.
Right, we'd have to convince Josh to play modern. That would never happen. He doesn't like playing modern.
I feel like we have a better chance of convincing Jimmy to play modern than Josh to play modern.
Yeah, I'm trying to think like who we could even. I feel like we're like dealing with the upper class and the lower class. We have no middle class. We don't know anybody who's like really good at modern, but not like insane at modern. All the people that we know who are pros are like legitimate pros. Like they would.
Yeah, yeah. They would, like, they have their own team that's like Team East West Bowl actual members who go to the Pro Tour.
Or they like work for Wizards now.
Yeah.
Like, hey, Glenn. Nope. Hey, Andrew. Nope. Corey's like, I'm on a team. Can't do it.
We'll figure it out. All right. So. For those who haven't listened to one of our Modern Masters preview episodes before, the way this kind of works is we do it in kind of two ways. One is we go through each of the 2 color combinations and figure out what kind of draft archetypes there's going to be in this set, mostly because that's going to lead you down the path of what type of rares we're going to see. And then after that, we go down and we kind of talk about the mythic slots because there's a pretty ironed out. And they might do this completely differently, and then we'll just be completely wrong, but let's follow the pattern that exists, and they'll do 2 of each color, a few gold cards, a few artifacts, and the mythic, so there's 15 mythics.
Oh, Eric Wydetz just came to me. He'll be our third.
Yeah.
He'd love to.
Yeah, yeah.
That'd be super fun.
He can do black-white tokens that doesn't... We'll see.
He would just like it, I think.
Yeah, yeah.
Let's do that.
Okay. All right, so back to what we were talking about. First, let's go through kind of draft archetypes. So there's, for those who don't know, there are 10 color combinations: red, green, blue, black, white, green, black, green, blue, green, red, white, black, white, blue, white, red, black, blue, red.
When did you come up with this?
Those 10 colors?
Yeah, how'd you come up with that?
That list?
Yeah.
So the way I do it is I start with one color. So I started with green, and then I wrote all the color combinations with green, and then the first number I start with was red, green. I then do it all the red ones, and then...
Did you like look at the back of a magic card and start drawing lines between the colors? And then connected all the lines, and then you counted the lines?
So many lines.
All right, this joke's over. Let's keep going.
So first, let's talk about red-green. The important things with this set to remember is the new 2 sets are Innistrad and Return to Ravnica. Both of them were extremely popular draft formats.
Well,
Innistrad's considered one of the best ever.
Yeah, the new blocks. So you have six total sets between those as well as some M sets.
Yeah.
So M14, M13, and then you have Innistrad, Dark Ascension, the third set, which is called Avacyn Restored, Return to Ravnica, Gatecrash, and Dragon's Maze. Now, of these sets, the weird one is Avacyn Restored because it's not officially connected.
It's not on theme with anything else.
Well, it was drafted on its own.
Yeah.
It was triple Avacyn Restored. So the other ones all were part of a traditional like 2-set or 3-set thing.
Well, kind of RTR Black was also weird, but they both linked together with Dragon Maze, so they feel more connected with each other. And obviously, they're on the theme of each of them have 5 of the guilds, and there's just 10 of them, so they're different.
Right, and Avacyn Restored is like strange, for instance, like Soul Bond is a mechanic that only shows up in Avacyn Restored and doesn't play with the other things because it didn't ever get drafted with them. So it worked when it
but that's
was.
That's a mechanic that like you can have one or two cards that have Soul Bound and be completely fine. I mean, like beyond the fact that you have too many keywords maybe in the set, like that mechanic isn't. Like, I still don't think we're going to, and we talked about this before, I don't think we're going to see Infect as a strategy in this set.
Yeah, it's fair.
I think that it involves your deck being too insular into one direction. And I think, to be totally honest, Infect cards, other than maybe Inkmoth Nexus, which I don't think we can't not see, like, I think they can just reprint that in this set. Most of the Infect cards are not that expensive. Like the actual Infect archetype cards. Like the problem with the deck is like the lands, Noble Hierarch, right. Inkmoth Nexus.
Yep.
Inkmoth Nexus is the one that maybe they'll reprint, but I don't, as I said before, I don't think you need that card to be
reprinted?
No, reprinted alongside an Infect archetype.
Because that's one of the few mythics, or not mythics, but that's one of the few chase rares in Modern we haven't seen a reprint yet, right?
Sure.
It's like one of the only major ones.
Yeah. And I think the reason I'm saying you don't need it is if you have any type of proliferate strategy, which I guess last set would have been the one to do it in, if you have any type of pump for a different archetype, which I think we'll talk about possibly existing here, I don't know. You also have like Inquisition of Kozluck was printed in Conspiracy.
Yes.
And it just like is awful in Conspiracy. It makes no sense in that set.
Yeah. Because
it's a multiplayer set, which makes targeted discard bad. And it's a three or less, which is terrible in multiplayer because you want to play big, fatty.
Well, and you have to think that bombs. And we also have to assume that because we saw that, that's not going to be in here because they couldn't have been designed that far away from each other. So they must have been like, well, we're not going to put it in the Modern set that people are going to expect it. And so we'll put it in this set so it's out there, right?
I don't know if I completely agree. I think they could reprint it. Yeah, but I wouldn't be surprised if they don't.
I mean, what's it go for now? It was going for like $20 for a while.
It's like still $10.
Okay.
Yeah, yeah.
It's still $10 in common. All right. So anyway, draft archetypes. So I guess we'll just start at the very beginning. But that's kind of what we're working with. Well, there's also the idea, though, by the way, and this is something we were talking about. You mentioned like a few cards, and I was like, really, that card? And you're like, well, they just never reprinted that. It's not even a chase card. It's just a mythic from an older set. So there are some cards that slip through the cracks we've never seen that aren't even like big Modern cards. They're just flavor cards that I think they
some
could
of
find
Commander.
A place
I
for.
Mean, like these formats have always tried to make like command. It was always Commander and Modern. We've gotten a lot of like very distinctly Commander specific cards. One of the reasons I think that the first set was so great was that a lot of the rares were half like expensive Commander cards and half like decent Modern cards. So you got a nice splattering of expensive cards that weren't necessarily warping a single person's collection.
Yeah.
All right. So
I think what we'll do is we'll go through the archetypes and then we'll do our and we'll call our mythics at the end of it.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah.
Sounds great. So I guess we'll start with the top. Let's.
Well, so the reason I want to start there especially is because I think the one of the big mechanics they're going to bring back is I think we're going to get flip cards back. I think it's hard to come back to Innistrad without having that mechanic. And I think they now have kind of probably mastered the way to do double-sided cards.
Right.
I think
for a couple reasons here. Because first of all, and it's funny because he's the only one that I can think of that isn't a werewolf. But Delver of Secrets was a very like cornerstone card of this time and of this set, and it like
sure.
it's very representative of Innistrad. If you print Delver, it's funny because you don't have to reprint werewolves if you reprint Delver, but I don't think you can do just one, obviously, because you need to be able to have multiples in packs. So that's,
right.
I think, that for me, that would be the biggest selling point on this.
And there's like Huntmaster of the Fells is another
yeah,
like, flip rare that like would be really cool to see. Mayor of Averbrook is obviously a fan favorite.
Everybody loves Mayor.
And leads us a little bit into how we think another color combination is going to be. And then, you know, you just have kind of a distinct archetype that's pretty sweet and you're not going to see very often. They might not do it from the perspective of it's been done recently before. Maybe werewolves is the big, like maybe flip cards is the big miss that we have and they're going to save it for some future. We have both Innistrads available to us to do flip cards. But I think this is an opportunity. Why not take it? And I think it's a cool mechanic. I don't know.
I think they'll just do it both times.
Yeah.
Honestly.
Yeah.
I think we'll just get the super one later.
And that time we'll have it like, we'll also get Jace, flip Jace. Like, they'll be both flip cards. Yeah. I agree. Next, I'm going to go blue red. I think this is going to be Delver spells. I don't think it's going to be as, you know, we talked about Burning Vengeance, but that was just in
Eternal Masters.
And so I don't think they're going to go like full on flashback. Blue red, I think it'll be much more Izzet-y.
Well, I mean, I think you can look at it two ways, right? So you look at the two different archetypes in the two different blocks, and it's like, yeah, you definitely have heavy spells, so like Goblin Electromancer and all that sort of Izzet type of feel.
Yep.
But then you have all of the like, what was like the blue red flashback spell from? Desperate Ravings.
Yeah.
You have like that. So I think it's pretty easy to imagine those two things overlapping. I still do think you'll probably see
like Kiln Fiend. Like I think like a kind of a pseudo prowess theme maybe even in there.
Yeah, I don't know. I still for some reason think that even though they just did it in Eternal Masters, maybe they won't push it. But I would think you'll see another reprint of Burning Vengeance or Secrets of the Dead. Like I think one.
No,
or the
I don't.
Other.
I don't think we'll get
neither one.
Like I'm pretty positive we won't get that enchantment, because that's like what the archetype was.
Yeah.
And playing around with that space. But I don't think we won't get a archetype that is spell based. I think Izzet is a whole kind of world of cool things you can do there.
So they just don't go in the graveyard and think they just make flashback spells. So yeah. We'll get Geist Flame, we'll get Silent Departure again probably because it's a really good limited card.
Yeah. I just like we won't get the mill Silent Departure.
Grasp of Phantasms.
Yeah. So okay. Like that, I think that's kind of what we're gonna be leaning towards. Next is red black. I think Vampires is a pretty soft block here. It was really supported in Innistrad, and it was really supported in Zendikar, which was added last time. And so between the two of them, that's a lot of Vampires.
Well, we remember talking about, I think we've talked about him here a lot because of the blue white one being such a favorite of ours, but there's the uncommon lord for each color combo. And so there's the uncommon vampire lord that they can reprint, and he's a great limited card. So if you reprint that, I mean, that's like one of those like,
There's like a vampire plus all vampires get +1/+1, tap all vampires to gain control of a thing. That could be an uncommon. Like I think they could downgrade some of the vampire lords that are less amazing.
Vampires played really, really nicely in Innistrad Limited. Like that was a really fun archetype to draft. You had like a lot of the commons and uncommons were just it was like an easy, smooth aggro archetype. And if I'm remembering correctly, there was like a sacrifice +1/+1 counters type of theme in Avacyn Restored, and like
there's even a splattering of vampires in Ravnica in red black and in in black in general, because black white has vampires too.
Oh, well, so the black red theme in Return of Ravnica is the +1/+1 counter.
Yeah.
What's it called?
Unleash.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So you could definitely find a little overlap there probably, especially because there's a lot of +1/+1 counters in both.
And there's like red black hellbent stuff in red, because I think like the two things we're gonna get is like some of the Innistrad stuff, but then also combining both of the Ravnica blocks. Because I think this is gonna be the first opportunity that Wizards is gonna have to create a limited environment that's gonna feel like Ravnica, the combining of everything. So we're
Chainwalker, Splatter Thug, cards like that. I think you'll probably
see like Hellbent Vampires.
Yeah, you'll see some.
Which you know, a rare that we definitely think I'm expecting to see is Bloodghast. We didn't get it last time. It's going to go really good in this strategy, but I think it's really going to go really good into a strategy we'll mention soon. So I think, Vampires is good. One of our mythics will be a hint towards Vampires, I think, as well. Blue-White Control, I think. There's just like some of the better removal. You have the Azorius theme of what Azorius is doing, which is a control deck. I think you could remove, you know, Supreme Verdict would probably be a rare.
Yeah.
The Blue-White O-Ring.
Detention Sphere.
Yeah, Detention Sphere.
You had Sphinx's Rev was like the big draw card spell.
Yeah, yeah, that's a mythic, but I can see that being downgraded to rare in this set. Like, I think that wouldn't surprise me.
It's not a chase card at this point, so it's like, it wouldn't. Yeah, but.
You get all like the detention effects where like the detain.
Oh, detain, you mean?
Yeah.
Yeah, I would agree. Yeah, I think. And I mean, there was also. They did Spirits already, so I don't think you'll see a Drogskull Captain reprint unless they just wanted to. I mean,
no,
maybe
I don't think we'll see Spirits. I think because they like I don't think they want to go too deep into tribal.
Right.
The last couple times, like you had four tribal decks.
Yeah.
And we have four tribal decks here, so I think they'll probably avoid going too deep down that train.
Yeah, I do kind of wonder though, just because I don't think you necessarily have to go crazy, crazy, crazy deep on Spirits, and there's some Spirits cards, like for instance, we'll get there, but like. I know we're going to see a Lingering Souls reprint, and you know, and I would guess that like the 1/1 that when he dies makes a spirit, I would guess that's probably going to get a reprint because it's just a great limited card, fits into humans. So I think because there was the whole humans turn into spirits thing in Innistrad.
Well, so getting that, I think we'll get a black-white tokens theme. That's what I have for black-white. I think it'll maybe be Reanimator. Like I could completely wrong, and it'd be more like Umbrellites, the game plan.
Right.
And it might be both, because we'll get to like the different support cards. But because Blatt-like tokens fit so well with like humans archetype, that fits so well with a sacrifice archetype that might be in red black, that, you know, I don't think they want to do full on spirits again.
I hear you. I just sort of, I'm thinking like, all right, you, for a blue white uncommon that has flavor, you can reprint the captain, because you could, at that point, you can do the whole cycle. It's not hard to do if you already knew the vampire one.
I don't think we have zombies here, so.
Oh, yeah, maybe you're right. Maybe they'll just print the one. But I was sort of just thinking, like, what's the card called? Geist-Honored Monk? Was that the one? That's like a great limited rare. Everybody loves this card. It was a total fan favorite in the set.
I think you could definitely print that as a.
But it makes two white spirits.
Well, but, I mean, like, who cares?
Yeah, okay, you're right.
You don't, like, those spirits are still strong if you have a token theme.
Intangible Virtue is probably going to be an uncommon.
I could see it. Yeah. That more like Intangible Virtue is kind of more what this deck will be trying to do. Not spirits.
Yeah.
Which are just like, yeah. Then you can have other tokens.
Spirits are like a secondary theme.
Yeah. So yeah, tokens or Reanimator in black white. I think Umbarrowites is still possible. I think that is probably going to be printed in it either way.
Yeah.
I think that it as an alternative game plan for some of these three color combinations is probably a good idea.
And then they reprint gifts just to be spicy.
That'd be fun. That'd be sweet.
And you could just get gifts. I think
they might just do that. I don't, like, they didn't get gifts last time. We got it the first time. I think they could bring gifts back. That seems awesome.
Just so you could gifts rights in limited.
Yeah. Seems great. They had Kiki Jiki literally in limited. You can do gift rights in limited.
That's crazy.
Especially because, like, I don't see Elishnorn coming back.
No. Seems unlikely.
All right. Red-white, humans. So this continues kind of like the circle of red-white, black-white, red-black.
Right. Well,
where it's like this will be the pseudo-aggressiveness.
Yeah, it's kind of odd because thinking about the aggro between the two sets, you had like red-white battalion, I think, was like gate crash, I want to say.
Yeah, and I guess I want to say red-white will be more battalion-y and green-white will be more human-y.
And they'll be kind of a little Naya crossover with the two archetypes. Because in red-white, you had, or in Avacyn Restored, you had the whole like crew and striker and the like the 2-1 with haste that gave something something can't block. And you had like the 3-1 Keldon, whatever. It was like a 3-1 for 3 that did damage equal number of humans you control. There was and Lightning Mauler. You had like a bunch of red-white cards that were super.
There was the three, make three, red, three haste 1/1s.
Right, yeah.
And human tokens. Well, but the thing with the reason green needs to be in this conversation is because werewolves are all green.
Right.
So if red-green is werewolves, red-white, which are half humans, half werewolves, if red-white is just straight-up Italian aggro with a small human theme,
right.
And then white-green is like human token themed, like I think you have a nice little...
One thing I'm kind of curious about is, do you remember how many... So there was all the guild mages. There was one for every color combo. In RTR, and so that's 10 of those. But then there was also like a couple other fringe multicolor 2-drops. Like there was that red white one that had, it wasn't the guild mage, it was the one that could like +2/+0, and the other ability was like vigilance, maybe. Mm-hmm. I don't remember what it was called, but like I do sort of wonder how many of those will just get reprinted just to reprint them, because they're just like flavorful fun on commons.
I think we'll get some of the guild mages, and it might be a splattering of the two different sets worth of guild mages,
but not all of them.
Got
it.
Yeah, I don't think it'll be a full cycle. But they don't like doing full cycles in the set. Like, I don't think we've ever gotten a full cycle. The dragons are the only full cycle. And it was, no one was happy about it.
I'll bet you in red-white we get, not only do we get both of those two mana red-white cards, but I'll bet you we also get a reprint of Madcap Skills. I'll bet you it shows up just to be.
Yeah. I think that would be fine.
It was a swingy limited card that was like not fun for a lot of people, but also then you have people that swore by it. So
the power level is also high, and it's something they might like people doing. I can see that. Yeah. Blue green merfolk
seems pretty straightforward. A little underwhelming to me. I feel like blue green evolve is like more what I would call it, because I can't think of that many merfolk.
Well, so I think they'll just do the, like, because Merfolk is basically mono blue. There's, like, a few white ones from Lorwyn block, but they're all relatively...
There's, like, four of them. Like, not even. There's some in the school. There's Sig River Guide. There's the opposite of Fallow Sage, Hollow Sage, maybe.
Yeah.
The life gain one. There's, like, I think, like, a Tapper kind of a deal. But I mean, basically, and there's like an expensive one. There's like six of them, maybe.
Mm-hmm.
That's it. And like, you could bring them back if you wanted, but like, really, this is a good opportunity to just reprint the Merfolk staple cards. So you can Silvergill Adept. Right. You get all the most important ones.
But then the RTR block blue green evolve strategy had a subtle Merfolk tribal component. Like, there was no merfolk tribal, but a lot of them were the tribe merfolk.
Like, were they? Yeah. Really? Like, really?
That was the whole thing, is that they found a whole merfolk conclave on Ravnica. They found these giant oceans of merfolk in the RTR block. That was, like, the new thing.
I, like, don't remember any of these
Their
cards.
Their leader was a merfolk. There was the merfolk that lets you move +1/+1 counters to different characters or creatures.
Really? That's all from Ravnica, huh?
Yeah.
I'm, like, totally forgetting this. Oh. Maybe I'm now remembering. Yeah. No. Fathomseer wasn't a merfolk.
I'm looking it up. But
anyway.
the other thing is, this could just be blue-white. Like, right. You know, our blue-white deck, like, archetype is not. I think merfolk needs to come back, though. I think, like,
you need
all
a place
the merfolk
for...
cards are all, like, weirdly expensive uncommons for just because they haven't seen printing since Shadow Moor Laura One Block.
Yeah, I mean, that's definitely the reason that we're talking about that is that, yeah, all of, and not even that, but just like all the lords, like everybody from like Merorigery to, you know, Merfolk of the Pearl.
I guess
Tridents.
There's only 4 Merfolk.
Yeah, that's what I was curious.
Merfolk of the Depths, which is a flash 4/2.
Yeah, right.
Vorrel of the Hall Clad.
Yep.
Simic Flux Mage, which is the one I was thinking of.
Yeah.
Okay, fair enough.
I feel like you...
Oh, because What's-His-Face is from Theros. Who? Theros had some blue-green.
Master of Waves?
No, the blue-green untap permanent.
Yeah. That guy. Thassa's
Theros.
Not Thassa's follower. Kiora's follower.
Yeah.
Yeah, that would make more sense. That's where... Immediately when you said it, that's what I thought of, and I realized
for
it
some
later.
Reason, that in my head was a... Okay, we're wrong. Moving on.
Well, so, but just to stay on the just the blue merfolk side of things, if green isn't the support color, I do think that an evolve thing is quite possible. I don't know...
That was so much what they were doing last time. So, like, Modern Masters 2,
yeah.
The black-green, blue-green, and black-blue strategies were all proliferate +1/+1 counters or -1, like all about, like, that kind of game plan. And this gets into what our black-green thing. If blue-green isn't Merfolk, which I thought was cute, and I think that'll just be the blue-white one, and we can say we were wrong about the control side of things, it's going to be like this. It's going to be half of the spider spawning deck.
Right. That seems very likely.
Because I think black green is going to be spider spawning, and most of that deck was really blue green, and it was about milling spider spawning.
Right.
And so it gives you that as an opportunity.
If we wanted to reach back a little further and just not to abandon the merfolk idea really quickly, because I do think you're right that has to be a thing that they do.
Yeah,
I think we need those cards.
This is true. This Lorwyn blue-white merfolk.
So I was just going to say, you think they would just go into white? Because then I was thinking, if you go older to older sets or things that haven't been touched on in a long time, is there another color that would be easier to touch or cards they could bring out of the woodwork?
Not like blue white is the one time they've done it merfolk in two colors, other than what I thought was Simic at one point, but they really just didn't do it there. Like in the older sets, because there was merfolk, but it was mono blue tribal in Zendikar. There was merfolk mono blue tribal or blue white tribal in Shadowmoor. There was maybe some blue black in Shadowmoor and blue white
like
in Lorwyn.
There's like Sig River Cutthroat.
Yeah.
And like.
There's definitely hybrid mana blue black merfolk in that set, but
cold-eyed Selkie,
yeah,
blue green. They've already reprinted that once.
I can see them reprinting that again, but yeah. I don't. I'm not positive. I think like it's been monocolor so long that the one reason to do it blue white is you get a few merfolk that aren't the blue mono blue color.
Summon the School is a fun card also for limited. That's
sure.
That's like a good limited card. So,
yeah.
I guess I could see them print a couple of the blue white and a couple of the blue green.
Sure.
So you just go basically mono blue, but you can splash if you want.
Yeah.
As long as the cards are decent on their own.
Yeah. So. But back to, and more importantly, I think there's almost no way that spider spawning isn't in this set as a format defining archetype.
But yeah,
like
I mean the spider spawning
favorite of all time.
Yeah, the spider spawning deck in limited was like, and what I remember distinctly about that archetype was, it wasn't one that in the beginning of the format was the preferred archetype. It was the one that halfway through that format you'd go to drafts and people would be like, I'm really loving this spider spawning thing. I'm trying it out. I know it's too deep, but I'm gonna try it. By the end of it was like, this is clearly the best thing you can do. It's like the most powerful thing if you get the cards. So everyone was like, if I get the cards, I'm just going to do spider spawning because it's the best thing you can do.
Right. Well, it's like every format kind of, I think, often has that archetype people figure out late. Like I remember in Scars of Mirrodin block, it was red-green dinosaurs, which was like by far my favorite thing to draft in that format, which for people that don't know is just they had like a weirdly large amount of big, dirtily green 6-drops, but then a ton of mirror. And so you would just get as many mirrors as possible and then pick every big red-green,
late.
Big... dude that no one's picking because they all go late, and you just have like you're playing six sevens on turn three.
Right.
But yeah, so that was fun. So and spider spawning was that in that set, and so I definitely think spider spawning making a comeback here is a very easy thing to accomplish.
Right. Yeah. That's like that's the guarantee.
And people don't know what that deck is. There's a card called spider spawning. If it's in your, it's a flashback spell. Put 1/1, 1/2 spiders into play with counters.
Reach, I think they have reach, right?
That with reach that are they're equal to how many creatures are in your graveyard. So.
I think it costs 5 to cast the first time and flashes back for 7.
Yeah, I think you're correct. And it's and the flashback is
blue
black.
And 6, right?
No, it's black.
Is it black?
It's green black. Yeah.
Okay.
And in Innistrad, the archetype was green blue black generally, and the idea was that green blue would give you a lot of self mill capabilities.
That's right. That's what.
And blue black, sorry, and then black gave you spider spawning and a few of the other good graveyard theme cards that gave you this really cool.
Oh, I'll bet you Tracker's Instincts shows up in this set.
Yeah, I think that's more like likely. That you know what card sweet. Might be in this set? I would be more the blue when you flashback a card, draw a card, more than the red do damage.
When you flashback a spell, draw a card.
It was Burning Vengeance, but for blue.
Oh, Secrets of the Dead. That's what I was talking about.
Yeah, I think that's a possibility.
Yeah.
Okay, moving on.
Cool.
White green humans we talked about. So blue black. So this is the one that I've had the most trouble with. If Damnation is reprinted, which seems like I feel like I'm just like abusing myself for trying to call it again, and it's just never gonna happen, and it's me wanting something that just won't. But if it is, then blue black could be that control archetype, and we're wrong, and white blue will be the Merfolk archetype.
And blue black will be control.
It means that Supreme Verdict probably won't get reprinted, but I also don't think we need a Supreme Verdict reprint necessarily.
Did they do zombies last time?
They've never done zombies, but I don't, as I said before, I don't know if they want to do
that much tribal.
Six tribal decks. I think generally they like that four range. Last time they did elementals, artifacts,
They did artifacts. They did like green white. They did like green white tokens. I think.
No,
right?
That was the first set. First set was tokens, goblins.
No. What was because you had that the green one previous rare that got shifted down equal to number of creatures.
Because they
you
do
control.
Tokens again.
They did it last time. Yeah, they totally did. And convoke. They did convoke last time in green white. Remember that?
Yeah.
So.
Okay, so
I'm just trying to think of blue black.
I think if it's not control, it's artifact. I think they like it was blue white twice in a row. I think there's so many artifact sets, and there's so many reasons they'll reprint good artifacts in general that it just blue black being the new artifact archetype this time around and just going for it.
Didn't blue black in Return to Ravnica block have the aggressive mill you strategy? It had all the cipher spells.
You don't want mill in limited.
Oh, and fuse spells. We're forgetting all of those. There was fuse. Remember that?
Yeah.
There's
I don't think we'll get fuse. You don't think we'll get it? It's like considered a failure as a mechanic. Yeah.
Oh, got it. Okay.
The reason I think mill is a problem is mill and limited is always feel bads.
If you lose to it?
Yeah, because like mill is very strong in limited. If there's a good limited archetype, it's almost always too good. Like, I remember Hedron Crab was always just insane.
Right,
And it was just because it sat there was a 0/2 that did nothing, but then like your opponent couldn't do anything about it.
I mean, there's cards that you could... You say this, but why do they print mill in limited environment after limited environment after limited? It happens all the time.
It's rarely super good. Normally, it's like a middling ground. I think the one reason blue might be blue-black mill is because they also want it so that you can mill yourself. So you can point the mill at them, and then you can point it at you for the spider spawning deck we talked about.
I can't imagine they would give us Cypher just for that reason, because I think that was a fairly unpopular mechanic. But I do remember there being
just a slot, a bunch of mill cards that they can print that are pretty sweet.
Yeah, I was just thinking fuse because of breaking entering, and I don't think that we'll get that.
No, I don't think we'll get fuse. It's a really complicated mechanic. Like, I also don't think we're gonna get haunt. I think black white very well could be a drain life strategy, completely different than what we said. Where because you have
Blood Artist, you have Falconroth, you have Noble,
and they're vampires, so they go into multiple archetypes. But you have in Gatecrash, the black white archetype was all about draining. It was
The guild mage had that
tithe.
Extort.
Yeah, extort. It's a great archetype. Its archetype in original Ravnica was all about kind of draining one life at a time.
Kingpin's pet and all those cards.
And just haunt doesn't really work, but that archetype works, so it can completely go in that direction.
Yeah.
And with blue black, I can see it being I would love it not to be artifacts. We've gone to artifacts so many times that it'd be cool if that wasn't really a theme here.
Yeah.
I would be actively annoyed if blue white was artifacts for a third time.
Another affinity sort of take.
Yeah. Like I don't think we need it.
That's fair.
Especially with Kaladesh, I'd rather them wait to bring that back until we have Kaladesh under the Modern Masters banning.
I mean, that's going to be like 4 years.
Yeah.
Right? 4 more years?
Two sets. Take two breaks from artifacts. We got two in a row. We can take 2 years of break.
Wait for Trump to be out of office to bring back artifacts?
Yeah. Perfect. All right. And then red-green, where else we talked about? Blue-black, white-green. White-green, I guess, we talked about a little bit as humans. I think tokens is another thing, though they've done it already. That's the problem with proliferate is like we've already gotten the white-green token theme.
Some of the things you're talking about where you keep saying they've done it already, I'm like, yes. But at the same time, I'm also like, think about like most limited environments. Most limited environments in most sets, there's a token strategy. Almost always. Like,
yeah, but it's in black-white now.
Right. Okay. Or like most of the time, like I can think of few limited environments in the last few years where there hasn't been like a semi-prominent +1/+1 counters theme because like, again, it plays really well in limited. It just tends to be a thing. So like, I think you could easily just like pick one, choose one. Or same with artifacts. Like that, not in every environment because not every set's an artifact set, but like for them to, you say like if they do it, you'll be annoyed. Like I think an artifact sub theme, you can come up with one from a set and put it back here, and like maybe it's not in blue-white.
But with humans, like, humans was such a big part of green-white in Innistrad.
Right.
And part of that was because if we're saying werewolves is going to be the strategy, which seems very likely, they automatically give humans a huge tribal bump.
Right.
Because all of the werewolves are half-human. And I think the set draft archetypes that seem the most fun or seem like the least done before of the RTR plus original Ravnica blocks are the ones that are likely. And then I think from Innistrad, you want to look at things that are either very popular in that set, like werewolves, spider spawning decks, self-build decks, or look at vampires, or look at, you know, where's the hole between those two sets. And I think humans, like, I think they've done tokens before. The token strategies have definitely been too strong generally out of those sets anyways. Like, what's it, like, we, like, it was literally referred to as a mythic rare if you got the green-white guild mage out of RTR block. It was, like, one of the three best cards in the entire format, including it, Pack Rat, and...
Right. That card was nuts.
Yeah, so, like, both of those were like, oh, I just win if I have this.
Right, yeah, that card was totally unfair. I agree.
So, like, I'm a little worried about proliferate. Maybe it'll show up a little bit. I think we might get some of the white, mono-white proliferates if black-white is token-themed.
You mean populate.
Populate, yeah. Sorry.
Yeah, the skies, the three mana, and, the white three make two birds populate. I think it maybe was make a bird populate.
But I think, like, getting the one drop when a human enters the battlefield, it gets a +1/+1 counter will be in the set. Like, you have a few different cool human cards you can throw in there.
Yeah, that's fair. And the human stuff.
Like maybe they'll throw in the Soul Sister stuff, maybe to mess around with that space in green-white. Like, that's the other archetype that I can see, like a green
and they just reprint
green-white life gain.
And they reprint Norrin the Wary in a set just for fun.
I'd love to see Norrin the Wary in a set in general. He's so silly.
They've never...
He blinks away. He comes back. He's so afraid.
They haven't brought back Level Up, have they?
No. I don't know. There might be enough cards for that. I mean, there was enough in one limited environment. They'd have to bring a lot back.
I think you would want Level Up to be in a proliferate environment, I would think. Or maybe that's too strong.
I don't know. I kind of didn't realize you could Level Up proliferate counters. You could proliferate Level Up counters.
You could proliferate anything.
That's crazy.
Just the same as...
Good to know. Yeah. Okay. So that's kind of the archetypes. Now, I want to get... This will be a little bit quicker because, you know, maybe we're wrong, but these are kind of the cards we think that will be going to be reprinted.
The mythics. Yeah.
So the first I want to talk about is red. Red is the hardest.
So explain really quickly because this is not something that everybody knows. There's an actual system here. There's an actual number that they do for each color. Like, this isn't... For the longest time, I mean, I never thought about this. It makes sense when you realize it, but when it was explained to me that there's only going to be this many mythics on color for each color in a set.
Yeah, so there are generally 15 mythic slots. We're likely going to get 16 or 17 because flip cards have their own sheet, and so that'll be a separate mythic. But generally, there's two... In the last two Modern Masters, and in sets in general, there's normally two mythics of every color, and then a splattering of gold and artifact cards that fill in the rest, especially in Modern Masters because there's so many powerful gold cards in Magic history. So the problem is that red mythics from an iconic standpoint are very far and few between.
Basically, have Kiki Jiki
and a Comet Storm.
yeah, right.
Inferno Titan, but Inferno Titan. Like, and the problem is the few that are like somewhat classic have also been known to wreck limited environments. Like Inferno Titan, like is bad for limited.
I mean, any mythic you print, you can't really print it with in mind. This is going to be in limited an unfair card because you just don't open them that often. Like you sometimes do.
Do you not? I mean, I remember both M12 and M11 with like Inferno Titan being in it, and just like the person who got in Inferno Titan automatically won whatever tournament you were in.
I mean, I kind of agree, but that's
versus like Primeval Titans is reprintable because Primeval Titan in limited is fine. It's a big 6/6 trampler that does very little because once you get the 6-man in limited, who cares if you get land?
That's fair.
Like I think that's the issue there. Same as Grave Titan. I think the Titans are just kind of too powerful. They're like format warping.
I was just thinking if you could bring the blue one or the white one. White one's really
Sun Titan would be sweet. It is really good limited. Sun Titan would be maybe the one I'd maybe give them, but white's not a hard. Like red is the color that's hardest. The cards I have here, one of them is from Innistrad, which is Pass in Flames.
That makes a lot of sense.
It's a $10 to $15 card. It'll go down after that. Storm took another hit, but like it'll go within any kind of red spell deck because you can get all the spells. Like it'll be kind of playable while also just being vaguely iconic. And it's a red mythic that is a deck that sees play in modern consistently
right.
Important card. The other one, and this is the reason I have a big maybe next to this is because Skred Red didn't win anything until after the set would have been probably locked in. But Skred's been around for a while. This is a fan favorite, Koth.
But see, so I agree that there's a chance they'll reprint Koth, but here's the big question. Why not Goblin Guide? I still don't understand why that card still isn't a guarantee.
I don't think Goblin Guide will be mythic.
You think they downgrade? Or it was always a rare.
It was always a rare.
Really? I feel like that becomes a mythic rare.
So, and this is going to be a conversation that is to have, is do they print rares? Have we, because we haven't done it before. We've never gotten a rare that was a rare moved to mythic if that rare came out while mythics existed.
Right.
And that's going to really be a conversation with Snapcaster Mage because Snapcaster Mage is, if Snapcaster Mage is rare, I'll be so surprised. And with that in mind, that's a rare being moved up to a mythic in a world where mythics existed. There were mythics in Innistrad. So does Goblin Guide get moved up? I think Goblin Guide will be printed at rare and Snapcaster Mage will be printed at mythic rare.
Interesting. So you think they'll do it in one instance? I mean, Snapcaster Mage is $42 median price right now. Mm-hmm. So it's lower than it's been.
It's down because of the reprint likelihood.
Yeah. I mean, if they reprinted it rare in a set like this, that's such a fan favorite, popular, really heavily open set.
That's not, I mean, that statement you made is wrong. It won't be really opened. These really? Sets don't get really
because
opened.
Because they're expensive?
Because they don't print that many. They only do one, maybe two print runs.
I think if Snapcaster Mage is a rare, it drops the price probably into the mid-20s, low-20s, and mm-hmm. it stays there for quite a while. But I think if it's Mythic Rare, I don't think it does anything to the price.
Which at $42 is fine, I think. I think that's...
Yeah. It's like, one of the chase cards. It's like in the modern.
Yeah. I think like the Bitter Blossom was moved up. Like they've moved cards up at this. They didn't have Mythic Rares in those sets, so it's complicated. Mm. In this set, I don't think that... Like they moved... in Eternal Masters, they moved the Elf from Uncommon to Rare... Inquisition of Kozilek was uncommon to rare.
Do we really think the Bitter Blossom isn't going to be in this if they do a black-white tokens theme?
It could be. We can get into what we think the black ones are next. I mean, Liliana is a lock, and then you have the second black one. That makes sense with that archetype. I also think Grizzlebrand, like
that
with Abyssin.
I mean, that makes more sense to me because they've already done Bitter Blossom, and it's not like you don't reprint mythic rares to fit limited archetypes. So like,
yeah.
So I don't know that you would necessarily have to have Bitter Blossom just to match.
And it's so... They printed it last time. It doesn't do that much in modern. Like, it's never been a big card.
Except in decks you build.
Yeah, I mean, I love the card. It's obviously really good, and Black White Tokens is definitely your deck. But like, they already printed it. It's not that expensive right now. I think they're fine.
Okay. So what do we got? So that takes care
so
of red,
black, and red. Blue Snapcaster Mage, and then the other one is there's two kind of slots. One was we were thinking was Consecrated Sphinx, which I think is really cool
from
and flavorful.
Perspective.
It's really powerful, limited. It's really sweet. It's a staple in Commander, which I think Commander will get some bones out of the set. And then the other one was Tamiyo,
the original Tamiyo, the 5-mana one. Yeah.
Because some of this set is basically an advertisement for what's going on right now. Like in the last Mar Masters, it was a basic advertisement for Shadows over Innistrad, for Battle for Zendikar block. Like, there's the whole Eldrazi theme was back because we're going back to the Eldrazi world, everybody.
Right.
So, like, I think we're going to both get some Amaket, like, hints of Nicol Bolas stuff, and we're going to get a ton of references to Shadows over Innistrad and Tamiyo, and I think that's where, you know, I think Tamiyo being printed makes sense there because it's a continuation of that character. She's expensive. She's popular in Commander. Like, I think she's a pretty safe. And they normally have a few Planeswalkers, and Tamiyo and Koth is kind of a cool combination.
Yeah, I think Tamiyo feels more likely to me at this point than Consecrated Sphinx. You just kind of resold me on Tamiyo. I mean, Sphinx is super fun, but it's kind of like you can. Like, it doesn't flavorfully tie into the story at all right now. And you can put Sphinx in a lot of sets. I think Tamiyo in a set like this.
Sure.
You want those mythic planeswalkers. Like, it's just a little more exciting.
Yeah, I agree.
It's not a more exciting card. I don't really know what I'm saying. I think Tamiyo is more likely. So, all right. That's the blue ones that we think.
Green, Tarmogoyf. I'm pretty sure we both kind of think it's coming back.
Yeah, I mean, the price on Tarmogoyf is still in the high 140s.
Right? Yeah.
I mean, I think it's still at a point where it's like you can't really miss the opportunities on this card because I think players getting to the format are still just like, I can't really play green decks unless it's an elf deck, without this card. I just need this card. Yeah. So if you're telling me the barrier to entry is $600, then I need an opportunity to get that card.
Right.
To open one.
Yeah, yeah.
You know? And I just think that if they don't take this opportunity, where else does this card get reprinted?
Right. Standard.
And, yeah. I mean, I think all of the this would be the only card, the only mythic to see three reprintings in this set or in this series of sets.
Yeah, but I agree.
You don't need Vendilion Click reprinted.
Nope.
You don't need Dark Confidant reprinted.
Nope.
You don't need Kiki Jiki reprinted.
Nope.
But I do think because the price on this hasn't really changed, even through
it's gone down. It's $50 less than it was, and it would be $200 at this point if they hadn't reprinted it the amount of times. What they've done more with these printings is prevented it from going up. But yes, no, I agree. It should be reprinted.
So I think that's an easy one.
And then the big green card, new mythic from these two sets that's just straight green, is Craterhoof Behemoth.
You think that's 100%?
I don't know if it's 100% because it is a little wonky. It's hard to cast. Like, none of the archetypes we described in our little breakdown, which we could be completely wrong on, are able to cast this card. So right. That's definitely an issue. I do think the spider spawning / reanimator kind of strategy might be able to kind of pull it off. But this card is never been reprinted and is like imported in multiple formats. It's like a staple of, and just like, it's definitely a card that's surprising to never be reprinted.
Well, there was a lot of really weird green mythics. Like, there was that one card from, I think it was just from Innistrad. There was two of them. There's Tree of Redemption was one of the green mythics. And then there was also that, like, was it like Voice of the Wild or something? Like the 6/6 for 6 that I think like copied itself. So I think like there's not as many green options in these sets as you'd think.
Sure.
And Craterhoof does kind
of iconic, yeah.
Yeah, people do like the card. It's a top-end threat in big token elf's decks in some cases.
Sure.
People have comboed into this card in many different kinds of decks. So, yeah, I would say that you have a strong argument on Craterhoof Behemoth.
Yep. And then white cards. This is the one that I found from one of the M sets. Archangel of Thune.
That's a modern card. It's like that's the apology, by the way, for the last episode when Corey and I were talking about infinite combos in modern. That's the one obvious one we just didn't talk about.
Oh, that in
Archangel and Spike Feeder,
yeah.
Which is why. So it combos a Spike Feeder to gain infinite life. That's just a two card instant infinite life combo. And that's, I think, your biggest argument for that being a reprint is that we haven't.
Never been reprinted. Where else are you going to print it? It's like very iconic. It's a white mythic.
Yeah,
this is the first time it'll be available for Modern Masters. I like easy. The other one I have is Avacyn. I think this only happens if we also get Grizzlebrand. I think you need both. I think it's once again a reference back to what we just did in Shadows Over Innistrad block, which is when they kind of designed this set.
I think it's highly likely we get both, and I think the biggest reason is that A, Grizzlebrand shows up in a modern deck that's pretty prominent. Mm-hmm. I think it's, and then B, you did mention there's a commander focus to these cards, like where people like to play.
Yeah.
People like to have these big, splashy, iconic, powerful cards in their hands.
Avacyn's one of the best commander cards, as is Craterhoof, like as are a lot of these cards. So like, I can definitely see that.
Grizzlebrand's one of the best creatures ever printed.
Yeah. Banned in Commander. And one of the best commander cards ever printed. So good, it's not a
when
commander
did it get banned?
Anymore.
How long ago?
Like, within 3 months of it being.
Oh,
like,
really?
Yeah, like
so it's
within
been
a year of being in the format.
It's been off the table for
a while. Yeah.
Got it. Got it.
There was a point where Primeval Titan and Grizzlebrand and Cabal Coffers and Urborg were all legal at the same time.
Oh my god!
I did very terrible things to people. All right, so moving on to gold. Other than that, like white, like maybe the Angel Miracle card. We didn't really talk about miracles, but miracles could come back.
I mean, the only miracle cards, there was three flagship miracle cards. There was Temporal Mastery, there was Entreat the Angels, and there was Bonfire of the Damned. Yeah. And I guess if we were dead wrong about something here, the other red mythic that we missed could be Bonfire of the Damned.
Correct.
That's a real possibility. Bonfire of the Damned is unfortunately a horribly swingy limited card that makes for unfun limited environments.
Right. That's my worry about it is like it's a card that doesn't make Magic fun.
Right.
Like they kind of consider it a little bit of a mistake. Not a big one, but
yeah. I mean, and then other than those three, you're dealing with Vanishment, Banishing Stroke, a bunch of cards that
there's the burn miracle card.
Thunderous Wrath.
Yeah.
I love that card. there wasn't that many miracles printed. There was actually like nine or something like that.
Yeah.
There's the two green ones, the one that puts the four counters distributed evenly, the other one that's +6/+6 trample and lure. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I mean they're all of them are swingy for limited.
Yeah.
And you don't have enough of them to really support an archetype.
Sure.
So I kind of think it's not what we're going to get, but I guess it is possible. So let's move on to the gold and artifact.
So the gold, there's some like easy ones. Like I think Huntmaster is like a lock. If we're going the werewolf route, we're doing double-sided cards. Huntmaster, but like they're going to have one mythic one, and it's Huntmaster versus Garrick. It's going to be Huntmaster. Garrick doesn't see any play in Modern. Huntmaster sees a ton of play over Modern's history. It's an obvious, kind of easy call. I'm not even worried about it. The only way it's not in the set is if there's not double face cards.
There will be, and I think it will be.
next is Voice Resurgence.
That's a lock for me.
Yep, that's a pretty easy, obvious thing that needs to be reprinted in the format.
It's like the only expensive card out of
Dragon's Maids.
I think so.
No, it is the only expensive card. Unless like some random card went up because it's good now but wasn't then.
Yeah, I can't think of a single other card from Dragon's Maze that's worth money.
Cavern of Souls.
That's Avacyn Restored.
You're right.
Yeah. But cool. That's a lock for
me. Yeah, yeah. I don't think that'll be mythic. I think that'll be a rare.
Really? It's really expensive. It's
that's like the exact type of card they don't want to be mythic. Iconic. Like it's like
they want it to,
a role player. I think that's fine.
Which is hilarious because when it first was printed, it had the same problem, which was like people were like, this is really powerful and seems to do way too many things to be at rare, but it's also just like kind of feels like it's just jammed in the set to counter magic.
Yeah.
Kind of like Great Stable Slag or a card like that, where you're like, this is obviously because Fairies is being printed, so we just need this to exist.
But back to Mythics. Olivia as the red-black one, I think that's safe.
Yeah,
especially if vampires are the archetype, but
it'll be Olivia or Watch, and we're gonna get the spoiler, and they're just gonna be like, "Haha, Rakdos Return!" I wouldn't be surprised if it's just like, "Sorry, we're giving you one wonky card because we don't want to give you all the things you want." That they do that. They do that in all the sets. Where like one of the slots is just like, "Really? Like Comet Storm? You guys couldn't come up with something better than Comet Storm? That's what we're getting in a red mythic slot. Like that's, you know what I mean?" And Rakdos Return would be that total head scratcher of just like, yeah, it's flashy. It does something powerful.
In their defense, like, red doesn't have many good mythics.
No.
Huntmaster of... Crucible of Worlds.
Oh, yeah. This hasn't been reprinted since 10th, right?
Yeah, I don't think so. Like, that's, like, such an easy wanted card that, like, I can see it coming back. And because we're going to have a graveyard self-mill theme, it'll go really well in that deck because you can play your lands that you mill. I think does a lot here.
We did over the weekend it's $58 right now in 10th edition. I opened one of these in 10th edition in a draft, I remember. We did an ultimate Mirrodin sealed over the weekend.
Uh-huh.
So it was the three new Mirrodin sets and the three old Mirrodin sets. We bought packs. It was like $60 a person. It was really fun to get to combine the two things. But everybody was like, I think Crucible is the card I want to open the most. And no one opened one. But somebody did open a foil Vial, which was sweet.
Sweet.
Somebody opened foil Tezzeret, Agent of Bolas.
Sweet.
I got just a regular Chalice of the Void. That was cool. And some swords and stuff. So it was fun.
Awesome. Awesome. Yeah. Next is Bridge from Below. No, not From Below.
Ensnaring Bridge.
Ensnaring Bridge.
Classic mistake by Kessler.
Yes. Ensnaring Bridge, another 3-mana artifact, super expensive, really important for an archetype. I think this is also, and I don't know if this will happen this year, but Modern Masters seems to always have one or two cards that are most likely to be banned.
I think Staring Bridge gets banned, huh?
I think if they want to wreck, or if the Lantern Control decks are too strong,
yeah,
which they might be in the new format, that's the card to go after. It does. It's another card that like just does something unfair in Magic that isn't a Magic thing.
Yeah, right. It's like, yeah, it's super, super, super narrow in what it affects, but it's so effective in what it does.
Yeah, that's, and it doesn't kill the deck. It just makes it significantly.
Yeah, you would just have to play like, you would just like literally have to play like
Ghosts.
Yeah, Ghostly Prison.
Yeah.
Or some card like that instead, which is like still fine, but just not as good.
Yeah, it's one of those like, if I was a Wizards person, which they banned Graveshrew over Narcomoeba, so I'm not. But I would always look at the card that like, oh, this doesn't inherently not Magic the Gathering thing.
Yeah, right.
Like, and that's like, oh, turning the attack step up. I mean, I love that card. Like, I hate the attack step, so I'm all about it. But I can see that being what takes the bite.
Yep.
It's the one that, if it was on the ban list, wouldn't look silly.
Right.
Like, Lantern being on the ban list is like, ooh.
Yeah.
And that just kills the deck, so like...
Yeah, and I think you're much more... It's much more likely they want that deck, because that's a wonky, fun deck that people... It's not a fun deck, but it's a wonky, weird deck that combines cards in a way that I think they're probably happy with.
Yeah.
So I would be way more... I think it's way more likely that Bridge gets banned, and you end up with just a slightly weaker version that can't Ancient Stirrings into a Bridge on turn one.
All right. And then here's my last, my weird shot call. I think we're going to get a Nicol Bolas.
You think Nicol Bolas just for...
Advertising purposes.
Really?
Just get into people's hands because we're about to go to a set where he's back. Here, look, this is what he used to look like, and now we're on Amaket, and we're going to actually open real Nicol Bolas.
What's your call on the Amaket CMC on him, by the way?
Ooh. I think it has to be 7 or more.
Old Bolas is 8, is that right?
Yeah.
So you think 7 makes him a little closer to...
Playable.
I mean, the old one was playable, but...
I mean, cool. Like the sad part is Cruel Ultimatum always was better.
It was always better, yeah, yeah.
I think 7 makes him a little bit more playable. I could also see them going the other way. I almost would love if he was like 9 mana.
I want him to be like...
Or like 10 mana.
See, I think I've said this before, but I want him to be like 4 mana somehow. Like,
that just won't happen.
I know. It would have to be...
The way to do that is we do a like time spiral themed like set where we go back in time.
Young Bolas.
And he's like Young Bolas, and he's just like...
Isn't he like basically... Isn't like Nicol Bolas basically like a golden god, so he can do anything he wants? Like, couldn't he like go to Amaket and like disguise himself as a Young Bolas somehow? But I don't even know the story. I'm just making stuff up right now.
He's a god. He's like Pharaoh.
Yeah.
Of this world, he's like a god king.
Yeah.
Of Amaket that we're walking into.
So he would never disguise himself. I just want him to cost 4 so I can play him.
He has so much pride. He's never going to disguise himself.
Can he cost like 3 even? Just Grixis?
No.
Just cost straight Grixis and come into play and just do something disgusting?
I don't even want that to happen. They couldn't print 3-drop dragons in any of Dragons of Tarkir, which like kind of wrecked the format in some ways.
Yeah.
Because they like don't think dragons could be converted mana cost 3 or less. They're not going to print the most iconic Planeswalker version of those cards.
Yeah, I guess you're right.
Yeah.
Why can't we have what we want?
So just, and then here's just a kind of a list of some cards. So those are kind of our mythics. And here's just, you know, and stop me if you think of something. Cavern of Souls is a likely reprint. Goblin Guide. Blood Moon. Abrupt Decay. Mayor of Aberbrook. Supreme Verdict. Chalice of the Void. Engineer Explosives. And then Sphinx's Revelation and Geist could be downgraded from Mythic. Vengevine could be downgraded. Bloodghast.
I don't think they'll downgrade Geist. That would surprise me.
Yeah,
Geist is it still has some iconic appeal.
Sure. And it was just, and I can see them not reprinting. It was just in a dual deck.
Right. I do really like the art in the dual deck. Do you?
No.
You hate it?
I like hate the art of the dual deck. My favorite is probably the original. Actually, the Judge promo was cool, but my favorite is probably the original.
Oh, maybe I'm forgetting about the Judge promo. I don't even remember.
That's the one where he's like kneeling down and he's got the sword and he looks kind of like a ninja.
Oh, I wonder if that's the one that I like.
That might be the one you like.
Keep talking. I'm going to find the picture.
Okay. All right. Well, that's kind of it for the episode.
That's going to wrap us up for our predictions.
Yeah, yeah. Do you have any shot calls you want to make?
No, I mean, I think I didn't like specifically make them while we were talking about them, but I mean, we made the list together, so I think I kind of
sure. The one thing I do want to say is the one place I'm most expecting us to be wrong is Wizards loves putting one or two, oh, I didn't even think of that as a draft archetype, into these sets.
Sure.
Like Rebels, Black-White Rebels, and Black-White. Actually, every time they've done the Black-White archetype has been just like, oh. Oh, that's what you chose to go with. And Rebels was sweet, and Black-White Spirits was cool. I think they were probably up there with my favorite archetypes in the last two sets. I can see, you know, Blue-Red Elementals was something completely out of left field. So I definitely think there's going to be one or two really creative things. We talked about possibly them doing flip cards without any of the werewolves and just leaning really heavily on all of the blue and white flip cards, you know, whatever other colors that there's enough of. But we'll see. That's the one you thought?
No, that's the one you like.
No, I like the original. That's the
one you like second.
That's most. Like objectively the coolest one.
Yeah.
We're talking about the Judge promo.
Yeah, I don't actually like the dual deck. I just looked at it. It's not very cool.
No, it's like ugly. Yeah. The first one's awesome, and then that one's really cool.
Yeah.
If I didn't have a foil version of the first one, I probably would have went on my way to get that one. Yeah. But I have a foil version of the first one.
Yeah. So I feel like that card's not your favorite card ever, like it sort of once was. I feel like it's lost its luster.
It's lost a little bit of its luster.
Yeah, because you could never find a way to make it work in Modern.
That's yeah. Why. Like, hashtag Team Geist is sweet and all, but it's just like, I don't like attacking. It's like a thing I don't like doing. I like, and Geist is very much about attacking.
Right. Spellskite for the win. Guys, yeah,
your favorite cards have lasted much stronger than mine. Vengevine also just like,
yeah, kind of faded.
Just Dredge is better without it.
We got to rebrand you. We got to find a way to rebrand your.
I'll think of some stuff.
Yeah, okay. Guys, thanks for listening to the episode. Once again, find us on Twitter at the MMCast. Kessler's birthday is a week from now, so let's try to get to 3,000 to give him a happy birthday present.
Woo!
And you can find us Ben Bateman Media, Kess Wiley. Collected.company.
On all things Instagram, Facebook.
Yeah.
I think even my Xbox Live account is Kess Wiley.
You're sure it's not MMCast?
It might be Spilly or Xander574. There's a lot of...
Yeah.
And then, yeah. It could be Venser. Creature Venser.
Oh, he's sweet.
I throw him in decks when I shouldn't, more than probably any other card. He's really sweet.
Other cards of yours that I feel like always make it, Trinket Mage, Teleria West... Engineered Explosives. These kind of all work in the same deck.
Engineered Explosives is more off of Ancient Ruins.
Academy Ruins.
Academy Ruins?
Yeah.
It's early.
Yeah. All right, guys.
All right.
Thanks
Bye,
for
guys.
Listening.
Thanks See for listening. Bye.
Thank you for your attention. See you later, alligator.